Cyber 24 is presented by our friends at Valcom. Valcom is a Utah-based IT solutions and services provider with a drive for getting IT right. From ironclad security to computing and beyond, Valcom's 35-plus years means they have the experience and the expertise to help your business from desktop to the data center. Check them out at vlcm.com. And welcome to the Cyber 24 podcast, the weekly pod dedicated to helping business and governmental leaders better understand the often intimidating topic of cybersecurity so you can make better decisions to keep your organization safe. My name is Marty Carpenter of Northbound Strategy, where we put thought leadership into action. And today, we're going to talk to two guys who are thought leaders and practitioners in the world of cybersecurity, Patrick Hines and Dwayne LaFlotte. They are based in the northeastern part of the United States. We won't give away their top secret location. And they also do some of this podcasting stuff. They run a podcast, produce a podcast called Security This Week. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the art of podcasting about cybersecurity, because how could we possibly avoid that after we've done 180-some episodes of this podcast, and they've had theirs going for a while. We talk about sort of the surprising things that have come up, what we're trying to teach audiences, what they've learned from their work as red team engagements with some really large companies, and how they've tried to take that knowledge and the fact that they don't need to work with a lot of small and medium-sized businesses. They're not trying to sell them anything, and give away some good advice. So a really interesting conversation with Patrick and Dwayne. We hope that you take a listen and that you enjoy it. Their company is Pulsar Security. I appreciate you guys being on. I think this is the first time, at least in my recollection, in 184 episodes now on the Cyber 24 podcast, that we've had someone on who has their own cybersecurity podcast. We're going to do a little old-fashioned cross-promotion, I guess, here, or at least one-way cross-promotion at the very least. And so, so thanks, guys, for being part of this. And it's good to have it's rare that we get three guys set up with like good microphones who are in the podcasting game. So I think we'll have a good discussion today.
Amen.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's start here. Tell us a little bit maybe about yourselves, but let's start with Patrick and then go to Dwayne. Just tell us a little bit about your professional background, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your podcast.
So age before beauty, I guess. So I'm a West
we're
Point.
We're actually just wearing the same color shirt. Nobody can see that. So right. I thought I'm gonna default to the guy wearing the same color shirt.
There you go.
Right. All right, Patrick, you're up.
So I'm a West Point graduate. I fought in the first Gulf War as an infantryman. And when I got out of the service, I was naturally gravitated towards security. And I started the company in 94, incorporated in 96. And it's always focused on development, security, and basically helping people. But it wasn't cool back then. It was kind of a fringe thing. And, you know, you had to pay the bills. And Dwayne and I have been working together for over 20 years now. And we've evolved into a red team company. If you were going to put a label on us, Pulsar Security, our company, we do red teams for some of the big companies. We have several billion-dollar customers. But what we realized was the small companies, the mom and pops, are really getting slaughtered. They don't have the budgets to hire a big team to do SOC and SIM and all the other things that you're supposed to be doing nowadays, the alphabet soup. And we're trying to give people the information the same way you are. So I think we're definitely kindred in that regard. We're trying to help. And Dwayne, who are you again?
That's a great question. Who am I? All right. So if Patrick brings the military and tactics to our security conversations, I bring the hands-on keys. So I'm one of our red team leaders. So if it's reverse engineering firmware, ripping apart TVs, tearing apart networks, firewalls, websites, that's usually my jam. I'm happiest when the internet is on fire and there's a massive exploits out there, because that's an opportunity for me to learn, but also an opportunity for me to help small to medium businesses and get the message out as to, hey, here's really what's happening. Let's dial down the hype. This is what you need to do to keep yourself protected.
Yeah. When we started, just a little history lesson on the Cyber 24 side, we initially, a business partner and I had worked for then Governor Gary Herbert in Utah, who was the vice chair and then became the chair of the National Governors Association during the time we worked with him. We really pushed him hard because a chair of the National Governors Association gets to select a policy initiative for the year that all the governors focus on, and it has to be bipartisan and it has to impact all 50 states. And we came up with this idea that, hey, you should do cybersecurity.
Yeah,
and,
that's a great idea.
And we thought it was a great idea. It was a little harder to sell the governor on it. And he ultimately chose something else. Terry McAuliffe, who was then the governor of Virginia, was sitting in the same meeting and said, okay, if you're passing on it, I'll take it. So we actually had the same initiative the next year, but not with the governor we were working with. Governor McAuliffe did actually come on the podcast in our first season, oh, wow. Probably somewhere in the 10th episode, somewhere in that area, if someone wanted to go back and listen to it. But we started out with that idea of like, this is something that's growing in, it's a growing problem for business leaders, for government leaders. And every time anyone talks about this, their eyes sort of glaze over, right? Yes. It doesn't take very long. And I've done 184 episodes of this podcast now. And I notice it sometime when people start talking to me, we'll get some experts who are really into the weeds. And I can feel like my eye is starting to do the same thing.
It's tough.
Yeah. So it's all about sort of making it more accessible and helpful to the businesses that are really being hit. You mentioned something, I think, just before we started recording, and that is that you've seen that it's the small and medium-sized businesses. And Dwayne, I think you just mentioned this as well, that are really in the crosshairs. So I wonder, what have you guys found as you've put together your show that's been particularly helpful to that audience in particular?
So we try very hard to give them things that they can relate to and things they can action on. And so, the alphabet soup that I mentioned before isn't helpful. And we find that very often the best thing to do is to analogize to physical security, because everybody gets physical security. If you made it out of your teens, you've figured out how to do physical security pretty well, especially
not to get mugged
and tumble neighborhood, yeah. You know? So, you know, when to lock your doors, you know, when to, you know, move your wallet, you know, when not to step in front of the train, that kind of thing. And so we make those analogies. So for example, the script kiddies, if we start with the threats, the script kiddies are the millions of people out there who want to be hackers. They want to be Dwayne, and they're out there and they know nothing really, but they find a script on the internet that probably infected them when they downloaded it. And they're going to use it on every IP address in the world. And that's where most of the log traffic is coming from, is people just splattering these old exploits that someone else wrote. That's why we call them script kiddies. That's the equivalent of a kid walking through the parking lot trying door handles to see which ones are open. They're not going to break into a car. They don't know how to get past the security system. But if you leave the door unlocked, they're in. And so if you give them those analogies, how do you stop the kid in the door? You lock the door. How do you stop the script kiddie? You patch your systems and have modern systems. And so those analogies are really where we're going for in explanations, so that we make sense of the alphabet soup a little bit.
Yeah. And I'd say to add on to that, I mean, part of what we see in the security industry, especially when you start talking about the really large names in security and security software, and SIM and SOC and that sort of stuff, they're all targeting the high-end organization, the people who want to spend $2-3 million a year on cyber. And far too often, people forget about the, you know, 80% of businesses that are out there that aren't the people spending millions and millions of dollars on it. And in reality, there's so much hype around to go buy this piece of software, go buy this piece of technology, that there are certain basic sort of blocking and tackling that you can do in cybersecurity that will make you worlds better and typically costs you nothing. Patching, making sure you're doing the right logging, making sure you're doing least privilege. So what we try and do is we take all of the hype out of what's happening every week in the news and distill it down into the, okay,
which
don't go out and go buy a new piece of software because we know how to bypass them all anyways.
Which seems to be antithetical to everyone in the industry, because everyone seems to be looking for the scare them into buying my thing.
Yep.
We don't really need more customers. No. We're in a weird situation. We have some very large customers. We're kind of a boutique shop. We don't want to have 500 engineers.
No.
And so we are happy to tell the truth and tell people that you can secure yourself with a little bit of knowledge, but it's a journey. It's not a destination. It's not like, okay, I changed my password and I patched my servers. I'm done for this year. That you got to keep doing.
Right. Yeah.
Organizations worldwide spend billions of dollars a year on cybersecurity, yet continue to be overwhelmed by security alerts, cyber attacks, and data breaches. Why? because managing security based on multiple point solutions and manual processes cannot keep pace with the ever-changing threats and environments. Your team just cannot react fast enough. With Checkpoint Software Technologies, you can take back your security. With Checkpoint Infinity, you can consolidate all your security functions in one place for stronger security. With a single console and one unified policy, you can manage all of your security, including your users, devices, data, applications, wherever they are. With Checkpoint Infinity, you can achieve the best security against both known and unknown threats across all networks, cloud, and mobile devices, all managed centrally, enabling IT to tackle targeted campaigns in real time and ensure business continuity. Learn more about consolidating your security solutions with Checkpoint by visiting vlcm.com/checkpoint. You've all seen the headlines. Every 39 seconds, there's a new attempted cyber attack in the U.S. As the threat landscape becomes more complex, the need for security operations is greater than ever before. It's time to put experts in your corner. For something as important as your organization's security, having a named engineer and analyst paired with you is critical. Arctic Wolf is a leader in security operations, utilizing a cloud-native security analytics platform to deliver security operations as a concierge service. Arctic Wolf's Security Operations Center as a Service is always on guard, with security experts monitoring your environment 24/7. Don't become the next headline. Learn more about Arctic Wolf's redefined cybersecurity approach at vlcmtech.com/arctic-wolf. That's vlcmtech.com/arctic-wolf. I did find that early on, maybe somewhere in season two, season three, it started to feel a little repetitive because we have people come on and say, hey, what are the things that people should be doing? What, you know, we tell you who our audience is, tell them what they need to know. And everyone would kind of hit those same things, some of which you just mentioned right there, Patrick, like, well, mm-hmm. Hey, have a good password, have a password manager, have two-factor authentication.
Right.
And after a while, I'm like, have we in like 30 episodes beat this horse to death? Cause like, I keep hearing the same things, but I guess it really is that simple in a lot of ways for a lot of these businesses.
Well, it would be an improvement if people just did that.
Oh, yeah.
So back 20 years ago, Dwayne and I were teaching programming and a new, some of the new standards of .NET when .NET first came out. I guess that was 23 years ago.
I know. Right.
The first concepts of things like SQL injection were coming up. And OWASP, which is an organization that looks for developer security, put SQL injection as one of their top 10 threats. It's still a top 10 threat. We still haven't gotten it.
It's been
right.
2 decades, still the biggest problem in development.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I'm on red team engagements all the time. And a red team engagement can range from a customer saying, hey, here's our physical address, come break in. And we'll pick locks, jam sensors, and that sort of stuff. Or here's our digital address, website, whatever, and come and break in that way. And we tell them, listen, social engineering is too easy. If you have users at the keyboard, assume they're going to click on something they shouldn't have. Now let's see how much damage could happen. And we'll go do that. And honestly, what we find is everybody's like, listen, you know what? I'm prepared. I'm ready. Like, we want a nation state attack, like as if a nation state were coming at us, and we're like, all right, cool. And we prepare and we put these custom viruses together that aren't detected.
Your family.
Yeah. And what we typically find is they're like, okay, how'd you break in? And we're like, well, the administrator password was password 123. So, maybe a stronger password. Or we find, you do realize you have no antivirus on any of your servers, right? And they're like, oh.
One of our vendors told us not to put it on there because it might interfere.
Don't get me started on that. So it does come down to that. You're absolutely right, Marty. It's like there are certain basics that you have to continually keep revisiting. And like Patrick said, it's a journey. You're not like, hey, I've looked at my passwords, now I don't have to touch them for the next 2 decades.
But a lot of people view security as a tax. It's not a feature that ships. It used to be that no one even thought about it. And when security, I think, Dwayne, were you in that meeting when they walked out of the room?
I was. Oh, that was horrible.
So please tell that story.
So I went in, all right, Fortune 500 company,
long
can't
time
mention
ago.
Their name, walked in the room, senior executives in the room, and we said, hey, we're going to start talking about cyber, protecting the organization. And all the senior executives stood up and left the room. And only the junior engineer stayed. And I was like, was it something I said? And they were like, no. Our lawyers have advised us that if the senior executives don't know that there are problems, they're not liable for them. And I was like, oh.
The world's changed. That's not the case anymore.
It's not like
you guys have signed a contract with Ostrich Security. I see how that goes. You want to pretend that there's nothing that's going to happen. I've used myself a little bit as like a case study as I've gone through, as I mentioned, like 180 plus episodes, and starting out like just not knowing anything about this. And I can honestly say, you know, 9 seasons later, I still don't know very much about this. I think I learned stuff and relearned stuff as we go. But I think back to sort of organizations that I've helped put together. I've run a couple of gubernatorial campaigns. I've been involved in the last 3 here in Utah. And, you know, that's a political campaign is like a startup company that you know is going to close on a certain date, or maybe one of 2 certain dates, depending on how you progress through the process. And looking back on it, I think, wow, we were just out there, right? Like we just, hey, we got to get some email. We got to get some interns in here. We got to get some people. We don't know who anybody is. And all I know is we're buying pizza for 20 people. And I couldn't name all these people. It was like, it would, in a lot of cases, fail the physical security test that we were joking about, let alone the cyber one. But, you know, as you go along, you sort of pick these things up and it's like, oh, I started to get a little more nervous about things like, oh, okay, yeah, password manager, that makes sense. Oh, okay, I could be an advocate for 2-factor authentication. So I know that just treating myself as sort of one of my own listeners, having to listen to myself as I do this, that I've learned things along the way that I think have made me more secure. I'm sure that there are still areas where I fall short. And I just think that's always been an interesting way to look at it, to say, if I'm learning something that I think my listeners are, you guys are coming at it from much more of an expert position. So I wonder if you can maybe speak to how you gauge that you're making a difference as you talk with an audience.
So I have an anecdote that happened to me just the other day. I got an email from my credit card company telling me that my new card was on its way, and that's a phishing strategy. You know, you fish them, but my company was, you know, smart enough to not include a link. They just said, if you didn't make this request, call the number on the back of your card. And I called the number on the back of my card, and turns out someone had social engineered them into changing my address to Kansas and sending a new card. Huh. And so I kiboshed that right away. And I take the same precautions that Dwayne does. All my credit is frozen unless I need it. So it's all frozen. So good luck. And so I stopped it, but it's easy for that kind of email to get caught in a spam filter. And then I wouldn't have found out until I maybe looked at my credit card statement. And so you have, it's constant vigilance. So one of the things I say on our podcast, Security This Week, all the time, securitythisweek.com, is if it's convenient, you need to question its security. Enemy of security is convenience. So single sign-on, the fact that you leave your security at your house off because it's going to be, you know, inconvenient to turn it back on when you're coming in and out of the pool, or whatever your lifestyle choices are, that's where you have to pay attention, and you have to constantly pay attention because, you know, I would be considered a security expert in most circles, and even people are coming after me for identity theft. Yeah. So they're not going to get anything. I'm going to make sure of that. But people have to think about security in all aspects. And cyber is really easier for the bad guys to get at you. We all live in a bad neighborhood when it comes to cyber.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've definitely found like how we gauge moving the needle. And one of the reasons we actually started the podcast was because the comment you had made, you know, we'd go to customers and they'd have these aha moments when we'd break into an organization, and it distilled down to a lot of the same things. We were like, you know, a way we could actually affect more of the market is just start expanding on these things in current events. Like, what happened this week? And how could you have worded it if you followed these basic tactics?
What lessons should you learn from it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And so we've definitely seen that engagement after engagement after engagement. Then we're starting to see that in feedback in the podcast as well. We have a third person on the podcast who's he's fantastic, brilliant developer, but knows you know, little about security. So he's the one who stops us and asks the questions. Hey, stop throwing out all the acronyms. Stop. What does this mean? Right. To help bring it down. But we've definitely noticed that's how we're trying to help sort of move the needle with our customers and with whoever listens.
Yeah. Is there anything that has come up as a topic on the podcast that you've thought, wow, I wouldn't have expected that we would have had to, that we would have talked about this or been able to dive into this? Is there any topic where you've been like, well, that just wasn't on our radar when we launched?
You've talked about it too. As I look through your episodes and listen to a few, the war in Ukraine and what's that's done to cybersecurity and how Russia has underperformed in cyber as well as in the physical space. One of the things I came to the conclusion of is there's no one sitting on the sidelines who's willing to evil hack. That's not evil hacking.
Yeah.
There's no army waiting to get you. There are already out there doing stuff. And we're the only ones keeping our powder dry and not going. The NSA, maybe they're the only ones that aren't really actively going after hammer and tong.
Or maybe they are.
Or maybe they are.
it's really interesting. I know one of the topics that we talked about a lot early on that always kind of made my head hurt was trying to understand how IoT, Internet of Things, becomes a part of all of this. And I wonder if you guys have talked about IoT on your show and maybe how that's evolved in the time that you've had your podcast going.
Yeah, absolutely. And IoT is something near and dear to my heart. I know your viewers don't have the video, but if you could see behind me, I have a whole station for reverse engineering.
You look like
firmware, specifically off of, I know I look like the Unabomber, but pulling firmware off of devices. So I'll take, I'll go to your Walmart or whatever and buy whatever flavor of IoT device, like a switch or a plug you'll plug into the wall that you could turn on and off with Wi-Fi and that sort of stuff. And I will tear the whole thing down, pull the firmware off, reverse engineer it, and find 0 days in that software. Because what I can do at that point is if a customer has that, and I can exploit that, I can get on the network through this device. So to give you a story, we once did it with a customer. Customer hired us for a pen test, and they were like, listen, we want you to break in. Wireless is on the table, external is on the table, et cetera. We said, all right, great. And we started casing their wireless, and they weren't playing fair. They were like, listen, they went to their security team. They said, we got this team. It's going to be testing security. Every 24 hours, I want to change the wireless password. Just keep changing it so that these guys can't break in. And we happen to have been able to break in within the first 3 or 4 hours through their wireless. But we had a feeling that they were going to not play very fair. So we actually found a device on their network, which was a TV. We were able to reverse engineer the TV and exploit the TV and put a backdoor on the TV. So every time they would change the wireless password and re-add the TV to the network every morning, it would come out to us and tell us what the password was. So we could get back on. And at the end, they were like, gosh, we have no idea. We made those passwords really long. How are you guys breaking them so quickly? And we're like, you're not checking any of your IoT devices. They're all beaconing device out to us to let us know how to get back on the network.
They were changing the locks on the door every day. They were changing the locks on the door every day, but you got in the first day and locked a window, right? And then kept coming back in the same window. That's really interesting. You guys have mentioned that you've got some really big clients. I don't want you to obviously, get into any trouble or divulge anything you shouldn't, but like, as you've worked with bigger organizations, is there anything that stands out that like shocks you? I mean, you've given us a couple of good anecdotes about this, but anything else that you would say, boy, you wouldn't expect to see this from a company that has the resources to do this the right way.
So this is going to sound weird, but the dissatisfaction with the other or prior vendors is astounding. We're in a bonanza. We're in a gold rush right now. There's such a shortage of cyber talent that there's a shortage of cyber services that either people are incompetent in trying to do services and succeeding in getting business, or they're just phoning it in. So we've had people tell us, one of our biggest customers told us, we want you to do a red team. You guys got a lot of credentials. One of your people was a SANS instructor that worked with us that we really liked. But you're never going to work for us again. It's just a one and done. And we're like, okay, but why? And they said, well, we've had such horrible experiences with your ilk that we're going to just keep changing every year. And this is our third year working with them. because what happened was they kept having somebody come in. It was a game of capture the flag as far as the vendor was concerned. As soon as they had something to write a report, they'd drop a report and they'd peace out. And they were typically not helping add any value other than gotcha, you guys are crap. And then they left. And so instead, what the way we do a red team, and this is going to get a lot of hate mail probably, is we get an open session, like the web session that we're on right now, for the entire duration of the engagement. And we invite the customer to join us. So it's a teaching process as well as a cleaning up process, as well as a red team. And so it'll last a week or 2 weeks. And we worked with one of the largest school districts in the country. We won't mention any names, but they're in the top 10. And, you know, they had over almost 200,000 access points. In, you know, they have hundreds of thousands of devices. And we helped them in a two-week period of time really clean things up. Now, next year when we go back, we're expecting to be able to still find things. But it's about that incremental process of getting better. It's like weightlifting. You don't expect to be able to pick up a car the day after you lift for the first time. You expect to get stronger. We want them to get more secure every time we engage.
Dwayne, any thoughts there? Anything to add?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I've noticed with large organizations, at least from the attackers, I always take the attacker's perspective, right? I'm always looking for ways to exploit the system. How would I be able to break in? And what are the reasons I love small organizations? And why are the reasons I love large organizations? So one of the reasons I love large organizations is because there's not one person who handles everything. I can tell you there's some small organizations where the network administrator knows everything that's on that network. And that's a really hard network for me to move around and not get noticed. But take an organization that has 250,000 end users. Moving around that network's not so hard because there's one person who watches the logs and another person who's looking at security events and another person who applies the policies and another person who has to approve it. And then there's a change review board. And in between these cracks is usually what hackers look for to hide. They hide in those shadows. Like, how do I manipulate things on one system that's not going to trigger somebody else to look at something? So really, that's what I see is the sort of the downfall in a lot of larger networks and larger customers is a lot of those teams don't really work together well. And in some cases, they actually have a pretty adversarial relationship where, you know, the policy, the guys writing the policies really don't like the guys implementing the policies because the guys implementing the policies complain all the time about new policies getting put in place and that sort of stuff. So they don't want to work together innately. And usually we find that's hard to overcome. And from my attacker standpoint, I love it because I can move around a network and nobody's going to notice me. But so those are some of the advices.
What I'm getting, Dwayne, and Jeff, trying to just translate a little bit, is it's easier to get into the small companies, but it's harder to move around unnoticed. It's harder to get in the big companies, but it's easier to move around unnoticed.
Yes. Interesting. Okay. Really interesting. Well, I can tell why you guys have had a successful show because you're very knowledgeable, very engaging. And I would recommend it to our audience to go take a listen. The podcast is called Security This Week. It's you two plus one more wingman. And hopefully, presuming he doesn't drag the show down, I think it would be a really engaging listen for audience to go.
He's more engaging than us.
Take a listen to. Tell our audience where they can go find this. I presume everywhere that podcasts are found, but why don't you give us the full connection points on Security This Week?
The direct link is if you go to the URL securitythisweek.com, it's also on Spotify. Actually our third guy, Carl Franklin is a very, prolific podcaster. He started a podcast called .NET Rocks back, over 20 years ago. I was his first guest. And, so he handles a lot of that stuff. I don't think we're on Apple Podcasts, but I know.
I think we are now.
Oh, really?
Apple, okay. Amazon, Audible, you name it. It's probably there.
Awesome. Well, make sure you go check it out. Security This Week is the podcast. Patrick, Dwayne, thanks for spending some time with us. Best of luck with the
thanks,
show
Marty.
Going forward. And we'd love to find another opportunity for us to connect down the road.
Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
That'll do it for this episode. I want to thank our sponsors at Valcom. At Valcom, you get much more than a dedicated IT retailer. They become an extension of your IT team. Whether you're a startup or an enterprise, Valcom has the technical, sales, and engineering expertise to make your business more effective and more productive. Check them out at VLCM.com. That's VLCM.com. Special thanks as well to our supporting partners, the Utah Division of Technology Services, the Kem C. Gardner Policy Institute, the Utah Attorney General's Office, the Utah Department of Public Safety, and our friends at Secuvant. A reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at Cyber24_, or you can hit us up on Facebook as well. We want to hear from you in either place to let us know what you think, or if you have a topic you'd like to hear us discuss on a future episode. You can also rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We love those 5-star ratings. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week and stay safe online.